Radio 1 podcast. Radio 1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
G'day.
This is Radio 1.
Radio 1, Scott Mills.
Thank you, Vernon. Excellent show today. James Cornham, what a laugh. You go to the pub with him, wouldn't you? I hope you're alright. Hello, Chopper.
He was very good, wasn't he?
He was excellent. I really enjoyed that today. You right?
I'm very good, thank you. Are you?
Yes, I'm good. Now, Chappers isn't with me today. He's in actual Leeds. Why is that?
I'm at the BBC in Leeds, because later on I'm doing Yorkshire Soccer Night.
Which is on a rival channel, ITV. Yeah. Excellent, okay. So we'll be able to see you tonight in the Yorkshire area if you like football on ITV.
Exactly.
That's great. A lot of you...
You sound so enthusiastic.
Well, I'm not in the Yorkshire area, am I? So therefore I'm going to miss it.
And you're such a football fan as well.
I know. A few people texting and saying, don't forget pancakes with Moyles tonight. I know that Moyles was trying to ring me earlier, but I had left my phone behind. I'd gone out. And as much as I would like to go around to Chris's house tonight, I really would, because Chris is my friend. Here's the thing. I do want to do it, but I have got a prior engagement.
Can't you just change your tanning salon appointment?
It's not as simple as that. It's actually a very important meeting.
Is it?
So, what I've
You have a lot of those when you get invited out.
No, because Chris thinks I'm well flaky, and I'm not at all. It's just that I have got something else to do tonight. However, I've said to Chris that if my meeting finishes early, which I'm thinking it will, then I'll go round for a little toss a bit later on today.
Right, later I bet that doesn't happen.
Okay, well, I've already warned Chris that might not happen, but I'm going to try my very best to get there.
I agree with Chris. When Chris calls you, do you actually answer the phone?
No, but that was because I was running.
Right, and actually, you haven't returned his calls, you're just doing this on air.
No, I've spoken to him by text message today.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, something else from Moyles that we need to clear up from earlier. What's this about, right? Were you on a train yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, listen.
We need to find out... I'll leave a little gap because Scott will clip it and play out the show. Joe, we need to find out who Chappers was talking to on the phone while he was on the train last night. Because he was talking about the fact that somebody didn't get offered the Royal Variety performance and they also didn't get offered £400,000. And this is somebody who's overheard a conversation with Chappers, which is obviously quite personal.
Oh, very discreet.
So somebody didn't get asked to be on the Royal Variety performance and Chappers was on the phone to them.
We'll find out later on, though, and guess when we listen to
it. And he also killed John Lennon.
Right, so what's that about, please?
Which one do you want to start? Well, I didn't kill John Lennon. It was a namesake who killed John Lennon.
Yeah, I know,
is that what you
want
clearing up?
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
That's true. And I was only 7 at the time. But that wasn't me. I'd love to come up with some hilarious, witty answer, but unfortunately, that wasn't me. I've never met anybody in my life who's been on the Royal Variety performance.
So it was a case of mistaken identity?
It must have been some other lump on a train, yeah. It wasn't me.
Oh, how boring.
What a dull end to the story.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
I was on a train last night, Chopper.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an actual young person reading one of those romantic novels.
Now, well, one of those where the cover has like two characters drawn on it. The man's normally topless and the woman's windswept.
Yeah, how do you know that?
I've seen them in libraries and bookshops.
Right. Now, I reckon this girl was probably, I think, about like 19, 20. She was young, right? And looked very cool. She had all the right gear on, but I think the book was called something like Lessons in Love, from what I could make out. I wasn't trying to stare too much.
It was a book, was it? Not a manual.
It was a book, but I thought it was only actual old people, like my nan, before she died, who read these books. Do you read these, Laura?
No, I've never read any.
No, not you, Chopper. Laura.
Oh, sorry.
I have done in the past.
What, those Mills and Boone ones?
Like love stories. Yeah. All girls do, I think.
No, they don't.
I I think
it's
they
for
do.
The grannies.
They might not admit to it, but I think all girls have done it some stage.
See, my mum is partial to a good Barbara Cartland now and again, but that's my mum.
That's what Chopper likes as well, isn't it, Mark?
Now,
we read it to each other.
I've asked around the office here at Radio 1, and actual loads of girls had these romantic novels. Maybe let me know. Yes, they did. Let me know if you are a young person and you read these, because I really thought it was for, I don't know, I would say like 50 plus. That's just what I had in my head before. 81199.
Is that because most of the girls in the Radio 1 office kind of don't get much?
What, romance?
Good job you're in Leeds, romance. That's all I can say. Right, this is my favourite. This is the one that the girl who works on our show today, Pippa, had, right? Just upstairs, lying around on her desk. It's called A Long, Tall Texan Summer. And it's by Diana Palmer. And costs £1. She's been to a car boot, hasn't she? Now, I'm going to read the front and back covers to you now, all right?
Yeah.
Okay? Here we go. A Long, Tall Texan Summer by Diana Palmer. Three brand new Texan lovers. Men no sane woman could resist. Now, I wanted to read a bit of the middle bit out because it gets quite fruity in some places, but I wasn't allowed. These Texas men were long and lean. And just ripe for loving on a hot summer night. But convincing them of that fact would be a difficult task indeed. Because Diana Palmer's men are a different breed and tough to convince in matters of the heart. They are men of iron, forged to long-lasting steel under the hot Texan sun. That's great. Now, I am going to try and find you a bit in a minute. There's a bit on page 93, which I would like to read out. I'm just going to check whether that's allowed at this time of day.
Is it quite raunchy?
It's not rude. It's quite romantic. I mean, right. Paws are up close, ignoring her flowery hands.
Heaving chest.
Wraps her up against him from head to toe. Mm. Something about his lips being hungry and stuff like that. And then, she was as soft and sweet as he remembered her. And there's some whimpering going on. It does sound amazing. No wonder people actually read these things.
I don't like it when you read it out loud.
I'm going to borrow this myself.
Are you?
Well, page 93 is particularly good. Let me know if there's anyone else out there that actually is under the age of 50 and does actually read these romantic novels, because I honestly didn't think it was a young person thing at all, but this girl on the train last night, she was well into it. Well into lessons in love.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast. This is Radio 1.
Hello, it's Scott. It's 6:10. Right, I need to talk to you about Upstaged. It's a new BBC entertainment event. It's online now at bbc.co.uk/upstaged. It's going to be online for the next 5 weeks, and then for the final 3 weeks, it's going to be online and also on a new nightly TV show with me, your host, Scott Mills, on BBC Three. Now, it's open to anyone all over the UK who's got a talent, right? So you need to make a profile of yourself and a video of what you do. Go online. All the details are on there, bbc.co.uk/upstaged. Not just looking for performers, we're looking for people with an amazing idea or a brilliant invention or a special skill or any kind of talent. Make a show of yourself now at bbc.co.uk/upstaged. And then what happens, if you're good enough and the people online who are your judges, if they think you've got what it takes, you will go into a glass box in the centre of Bristol and you will battle it out with another contender. Now, all the stuff in the boxes has started happening now. You might want to have a look at the Upstaged website because the people in there are on at the moment. And yesterday, the first two contenders went head-to-head in the two huge glass boxes, which are kind of like your stage where you get to perform in the centre of Bristol. And they had to do whatever their talent was for 6 hours. Yesterday, battling out were a bloke we played last week on the show, a man called Terry the Odd Job Man. He was in the box. He's some bloke from Bristol who kind of wants to be a comedian.
All right. My name's Terry, I'm from Filton in Bristol. Don't know if you know it. Yeah? I'm on here to show you what I can do. Yeah? I have got many talents around the household, yeah? I'm known as the Andy Man, odd job man, yeah? I could do anything, yeah? I'm a man about the house. I can show you all different things, yeah? I got a BTEC in carpenter. Changing tires. 2, 3, personal trainer. Shifting things. Boiler repairs.
That's just some of Terry the odd job man. And he was up against, in the other box, the Karavik sisters. And they're quite serious, kind of folky types. Now, because they were in a box right opposite Terry, they decided to perform a special song just about him. They were both in these boxes for 6 hours performing their special talent.
Terry, the odd job man in the box over the way. He likes his tools and cider, and that's all he has to say. I saw it has red handle, which clashes with his box. He can saw things with it, and his saw really rocks.
Yeah.
Terry, the odd job man.
So that's them doing a song about Terry, the odd job man.
He loves his tools and cider.
And after 6 hours of both of them performing all day, you can see all this online now, the winner was announced.
What do you think Terry the Odd Job Man did all day for 6 hours?
I don't know.
Sawing?
Yeah, he did a bit of sawing.
He
used his hammer a bit. Listen to the out bit when they finished the song.
There we go, everyone. That was Terry the Odd Job Man.
I'm a little bit embarrassed.
There we go, everyone. That was Terry the Odd Job Man.
They both spoke at once. Yeah. Terry the Odd Job Man.
They're dun, the same.
Dun, dun. And then at the end of the day, who was it going to be? It was very tense. Was it going to be Terry the Odd Job Man, or was it going to be the Karavik sisters winning?
Today's votes have now been checked and verified. Please stand by for the results.
It's like Big Brother.
I know.
It's tense.
Come on.
The act that will be returning as tomorrow's upstate champion.
Is.
Is.
Get on with it!
The Karavik sisters.
Yay! Right, so the Karavik sisters are in the boxes again today. They're back because they won yesterday, and what happens is winner stays on until the online community, that's you, the judges, vote them off. So now, at the moment, if you have a look online, bbc.co.uk/upstage, you will see the Karavik sisters probably still doing their song about Terry the Odd Job Man. And they are now against a bloke called Robert Bone. He's in the other glass box. You've got the Karaviks in one and Robert Bone in the other box. Here is the video that Robert Bone submitted to the Upstage website.
Sing. Do re mi fa la mi. I can dance. I can even do a bit of beatboxing.
Amazing. Well, that's the kind of time we're after. He can sing, he can dance, he can beatbox. But that's not all, Laura.
What?
But what I really do well is magic.
He does magic really well as well.
Wow.
All right.
He's a jack of all trades.
Gee, magic, isn't this going to be about baffling you? It's about making sure you're entertained and you have fun as well.
You see, magic's not just about baffling you, it's to make sure you're being entertained and you're having fun as well.
So he's in the box right now, is he?
He's in the box right now. You can see all this online at bbc.co.uk/upstage. You've got the Karavik sisters, who are the winners from yesterday. They stayed on. And you've got Robert Bone in another box in the centre of Bristol in Millennium Square right now. They're performing in the boxes. The Karaviks are fiddling away and Robert Bone will be singing and dancing and entertaining us with his magic. Now, obviously you can see this online. It'll be on TV soon as well. But what I'd like to know, if you're in the Bristol area, right, I'd like you to kind of let me know how it's going. Maybe if that part of Bristol near the watershed and kind of Millennium Square, if that's your route home, if you're going to walk home, maybe you could let me know on the text on 81199 and we'll call you back, because I'd quite like you to go up to the boxes and create some kind of excitement. Go online if you've got a special talent. Remember, you can judge the acts. If you don't want to be part of it, you can just judge them on what you think they're up to and how much you like them. bbc.co.uk/upstage. It's coming soon to BBC Three. It's online right now. You can see all the talent that we've got to offer.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 with Scott. Do you want to hear some more, chappers?
I don't know. It's kind of making me feel slightly uncomfortable, but go on.
She hadn't remembered that exquisite sensation until she felt it again. She felt it again, and she felt that it was exquisite. Her arms reached up around his neck. Her hands buried themselves in his thick black hair as his mouth gently teased her neck. I actually can't read any more on that, page 113. Oh, my God, there's so many texts from, like, people who are, like, 18, 19, 20, up to, like, 30-plus that read these books. It's not just for 50-year-old ladies and beyond.
Hello? It's not very hard to write, is it?
No. Radio 1?
Hi, Scott.
Hello, who's that?
It's Anna.
Hi, Anna, where are you?
I'm in Shropshire at the moment.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 18.
Do you read these books?
Yeah, all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, all the time.
Why?
At the moment, I'm reading P.S. I Love You.
Okay, that's kind of romantic fiction, isn't it?
That was that film I went to see at the cinema recently.
Yeah, it's just nearly a film.
Right, it's not a very good film.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm no James King, but no, it really isn't, apparently. Was it? Did you say it was rubbish, Laura?
Perhaps it was better as a book.
Right, okay.
Perhaps.
I mean, where do you find these books, Anna? Do you have to go to car boots and stuff?
No, just W.H. Smith, maybe.
Okay, oh, that's modern, yeah, W.H. Smith.
And
do you get them, I mean, you can get them from the library, I guess?
Yeah, from the library, yeah, cheaper.
Excellent.
Free.
Anna, have you got quite a large selection at home?
Yeah, I probably do. Most of my bookshelf is those kind of books.
Right. Chappers wants to know why you read these, please.
I think that they're good fun, they're really easy to read, and I always read the end first.
Why?
Well, they're really predictable anyway, and it's quicker. You get to know what happens.
I'm just reading the end of this A Long Tour Texan Summer.
You get to find out who ends up with who really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the whole point of the book, these kind of books.
Yeah, the Texan ends up with Maggie in the end of this one.
Well, there
no.
you go.
Yeah.
Found out in 10 minutes.
You see? It's not difficult to read, is it?
No.
I love you.
Love you, Scott. Bye. Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Hello, it's Mills on the way home, and now on Radio 1, it's time for our new game with the snappy title, Will Laura's Sister Mary Lie to Help Laura Get a New Job? The game is simple. Right, how much do you trust your sister, Mary? How much?
A lot.
A lot.
So I've got a mouthful of banana.
That's real nice, yeah. If you could, I hate people eating on the radio and TV. Do it. No, I don't want it. It's
put
it in your mouth.
What do with it?
Just put it there.
Okay.
Right. Do you trust her?
Yes.
She'd do anything for you, you think?
Yes.
Okay. Would she lie for you if she knew it would help you?
Yes.
Okay. Right, this is how this works. So we've called up Mary, Laura's sister, and we've told her that you've applied for a new job and had an interview, okay?
Right.
It's not happened, but that's what we've told her.
Yeah.
Now, we've told her that you put her name down for a reference, and then we asked her a few questions about the things you put in your job application and said in the interview, right?
Right.
Now, the things we're asking you about, completely made up, and Mary, in her head, would know that they were complete lies, but would she go along with these lies knowing that it would help you? Or would she just be honest and say that you've totally lied about all these things on your job application, all right? So we've told her you've gone for a new job and you've had an interview.
Yeah.
And then we've put loads of things in there that were completely made up.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think she'd help me. I think she'd tell the truth.
Okay, cool.
Lie to get me the job.
To get you, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so let's find out. Well, Laura's sister Mary, lie to help Laura get a new job. Love this music. What we did was we've got Joe, one of the executive producers here at Radio 1, to call Mary, pretending to be from a TV company.
Hello.
Hello, is that Mary Sayers?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Mary. My name's Mark Daldry. I'm from Chess TV. I'm wondering if you could spare a couple of minutes for me.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much indeed. We're an independent production company making television programmes mainly for ITV, Sky, Bravo and Living TV. And I hope you don't mind us getting in contact with you as your sister, is that right, Laura Sayers?
Uh,
Yeah, Laura.
Yes, has applied for a job with us, and you're down as one of her referees, so I was hoping
for
a quick conversation. Very informal, as I say, just a quick conversation. Shouldn't take more than a couple of minutes. Because I just don't. I want to make sure she's not an axe murderer or anything like that. She's not an axe murderer, is she?
No, she's my big sister, so I hope not.
Great.
Oh, she sounds so nervous. Love her. Oh, no, she's my big sister, so I hope not.
Oh, bless her.
As if you put your sister down as a reference anyway.
Oh, no, you'd never do that.
You wouldn't
would
do
you?
That. Okay, let's carry on.
She was part of the BBC traineeship scheme.
Right, okay. Are you a traineeship? That's amazing.
Laura came in for an interview earlier today, and she was very impressive, so I just need to run over some facts. And she was part of the BBC traineeship scheme.
Oh, sure, you're a traineeship.
Yeah.
It is ship, he says.
She was part of the BBC traineeship scheme.
Okay, yeah. Right, so here is the first blatant lie that you have told in your interview, in the interview that never happened.
Right.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she works on for BBC Radio 1 on the Scott Mills show?
Yeah, Scott Mills.
Great, and she's the producer of that show.
Right, so you've said in the interview that never happened that you're the producer when you're actually the assistant producer.
Yeah.
Is Mary going to lie and go along with your dishonesty?
Yes, she'll lie.
She'll say that you're the producer?
Yeah.
Okay, let's find out.
Great, and she's the producer of that show?
Yes.
Yeah, she lies! Okay, here's the next lie you told in your job interview.
Yep.
Great. And she's presented her own show on Radio 1 at weekends, filling in for Sarah Cox and Annie Mac.
You've presented your own Radio 1 show. Your sister, right, she will obviously know in her head that that is a lie, but will she go along with it to help you get this new job? You've presented your own show on Radio 1.
In for Coxie and Annie Mac.
Yeah.
I think she'd lie and say that I've done that.
So she's going to say, even though she knows it's not true, that, yep, you've done your own show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. And she's presented her own show on Radio 1 at weekends, filling in for Sarah Cox and Annie Mac.
Yep.
Yeah! She's a good sister. She covered your ass. She lied. And she goes on to embellish it just a bit, too.
Great. But it's over now. Is that right?
Yes. Well, the Scott Mills show is still going on, but the one where she filled in, that's over.
Right.
But okay. She's still working very... She does a lot on air stuff and a lot of production. But at the moment, she'll probably be working today, in fact.
Great. Well, it's good to have people with presentation skills as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's over now, but she did do it. She lies for you a lot, as you thought.
Oh, right. Bless her.
Here's the next lie you told them.
She won an award at the Sony Radio Academy Awards in 2006 for Best Producer, yes?
What?! Right, so you won the award for Best Producer at the Sony Radio Academy Awards. Is she going to go along with that?
Yeah, she'll go along with it.
She will?
Yeah.
She won an award at the Sony Radio Academy Awards in 2006 for Best Producer, yes?
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God, such a liar.
You're both so dishonest. What do you think she'll be thinking when this is going on, when this guy's talking to her?
She'll be cacking herself, probably, that she's going to say the wrong thing and get me into trouble.
So dishonest. Right, here's the next complete load of fiction you've told this TV company.
She likes to do a lot of work for charity, is that right? She swimming the channel last year?
Swimming the channel?
The David Walliams thing.
Yeah, okay. Actually, you do kind of believe in your head that you did swim the channel anyway, even though you were riding along in a boat alongside David Walliams. Right, would your sister lie and say that you did swim the channel for charity to this bloke to get you this job?
Yes, I'm going for a full house.
She's going to say you swam it.
I think she'll back me up every step of the way.
She likes to do a lot of work for charity, is that right? She swimming the channel last year?
Yes. She was involved with sort of the channel swim. She didn't actually do it herself, but like, she was involved with the channel swim.
Okay, but she didn't swim in the channel.
No.
Ah, you see, there's a limit. She grasped you.
Mary!
Okay, so she's grasped you up on that one. Here's another lie. Is your sister going to go along with it, or is she going to grass you up again?
Right.
Here it is.
Okay, and this is quite key for us. You'd say Laura's completely committed to broadcasting as a career, would you? She wouldn't want to go back to medicine.
Did your sister know that you used to be in medicine? Because that's never happened, has it?
I'd be rubbish at that.
Yeah. Is she going to go along with it?
Yeah.
Remember, she grassed you up last time.
That's a quite easy one to lie about.
Right. What, they used to be in medicine?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you're saying that she will lie for you?
Yes.
Okay.
You'd say Laura's completely committed to broadcasting as a career, would you? She wouldn't want to go back to medicine?
No, not at all. She's completely committed.
And she's back on your side.
Woohoo!
Now, this is my favourite one. This is really testing it now, right? She is a great sister to you. Seriously. This is the best one. What will Mary say to this one?
Because it does seem, you know, as an employer, it seems that once you've qualified as a neurosurgeon, it's a strange career change to make.
So now you're qualified as a neurosurgeon. That's what you said in the interview that didn't happen. Is she going to keep going along with the lies, or is she going to dob you into to your new employer?
She'll keep going, I think. She'll lie for me.
She's
going
to go for the neurosurgery.
I think she will.
Okay.
It seems that once you've qualified as a neurosurgeon, it's a strange career change to make.
A neurosurgeon?
Yes. Is that an issue? Have we been misinformed?
She's definitely not a neurosurgeon. I don't believe this. I'm getting pranked.
Yeah, excellent. So she kind of sussed what was going on in the end. Probably knows it's got something to do with us.
Did you hear her voice?
A neurosurgeon.
A neurosurgeon.
Yes.
She's definitely not a neurosurgeon.
See, she went quite far, but there is a limit. And that's a neurosurgeon. But in summary, you're a dirty liar and so is your sister. But fair play, she did lie for you quite a lot.
I didn't say any of those things. That was made up.
I know, but... So that was, well, Laura's sister Mary lied to help Laura get a new job. You have got an amazing sister.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Podcast.
Now, I don't know whether this is a very accurate poll, because obviously we don't have a lot of people, I shouldn't imagine, listening to Radio 1 over the age of 50. But overwhelmingly, these romantic novels, loads of young girls read. They really do.
Oh.
They do, honestly. You need to see the text. There's so many... Actually, as well, a lot of people are quite enjoying a bit of me reading out a bit of romantic fiction on the way home.
I find that even more astonishing.
So here's some more for all you lot that have been texting
in.
No.
His eyes closed. She felt soft and sweet against him. The lights were low and they were a little apart in the shadows. And there's something about searching lips.
Stop it.
What? Why?
You're really grossing me out.
And me.
He kissed her until what? She would have fallen but for the support of the tree and his arms.
That was lucky, wasn't it?
That was lucky,
good
wasn't
job
it?
He snogged her by a tree.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
It's Will in Leyland.
Hi, Will. How can I help?
I was just ringing in to say that it's not just girls who read those books.
There we are, chappers. All right, how old are you, Will?
I'm 18.
You're 18, okay. And why do you read these books?
To get good ideas for things to do for a girlfriend, like.
Do you?
Yeah.
What, so you, like, sprinkle some rose petals on the bed because the romantic novel told you to?
Well, that type of thing, but, like, I've taken her on a couple of picnics and we went horse riding as well a few months ago.
And you've got this from, like, a Mills and Boone book?
I just find them, like, she lives at my house, so I just have a quick flick through, like.
All right, so they're her books and you just leave them lying around and you get all your good ideas of romance for them?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Do you do poems?
Sorry?
Do you do poems?
No.
Do you walk with your hands in each other's back jean pocket?
No.
You don't? Right. I can hear maybe some of your workmates shouting, "Hooray!" in the background now.
Yeah. I'm getting called not very nice names.
Right, I'll probably let you go then.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Right, so if you're in Bristol at the moment, in the centre of Bristol, I want to know what's going on in these boxes. Maybe you could be a little spy for me. Text me on 81199. James in Belfast wants you to know that Upstage is also on the red button. He says it's the best thing on at the moment. Oh, you should listen to me, how rude. Obviously you're doing both, James. It is on your red button and digital TV as well. Just press red, not the other one. That's the off switch. Just the red button, yeah. Or online on the Upstage website. I do like when the Carrick sisters won through to today, yesterday, when they were in the box, their reaction was amazing. So imagine the tension. There we are. Who's going to win? Is it going to be Terry the Odd Job Man? Is it going to be the Carrick sisters?
The act that will be returning as tomorrow's Upstage champion.
Oh, God.
Is
yeah.
The Caravic sisters.
Now listen to the reaction.
Hmm?
No.
Oh.
I can't believe that.
So, really? True? Wow. Okay. Wasn't expecting that. Okay.
Wow.
That's Terry giving them a clap there. The odd job man, he thought he was going to win, didn't he?
Do you know what? I've never heard anybody celebrate as much as
they that's probably the best. I mean,
they're
normally
thrilled, aren't they?
On these reality shows, they go bonkers, don't they? But no.
Ooh.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh.
Check it out on the red button now or online at bbc.co.uk/upstage. And if you have got a talent, my tip would be to send in a video as quickly as you can.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Podcast. Radio 1.
Hello, I'm Scott. It's 5:30 on your way home on Tuesday night. Okay, I've been given some code words to say by Joe Wiley's producer. This means nothing to me, as it probably won't to you either, Chopper, all right?
Okay.
But I've got to say, Judy and Bloom, Catherine, Michael and Ralph. And that's for all the ladies out there. I hope that's done
Why?
The trick. I hope that's done the trick for you. It's something to do with what we've been talking about with these romantic novels, I think. She says I'll have all the girls squealing if I say that. Yeah. Now, there's some confusion as well. I'm talking about these romantic novels that people read in public, like this girl on the train last night.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about erotic novels. They're Ooh. Different. Although Laura does read them all the time. Didn't you? Wasn't there something happened on the tube in London?
Yeah, and my boyfriend James got me the, you know, Billy Piper. What was that programme she was on in? Belle du Jour.
Belle du Jour. Doctor Who.
Not, no.
That saucy one, the call
Secret
girl.
Secret Diaries of a Call Girl.
Yeah, I was reading that on the tube the other day and it got a bit saucy and I was a bit embarrassed
do
about
a lot of
reading
people,
it.
Do a lot of people read them on public transport?
I don't know.
That could get embarrassing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a bloke. You know, you know you're when you're on the bus or the train and you automatically kind of start reading whatever the person next to you is reading?
Yeah.
If they've got a newspaper, you start kind of reading it over their shoulder, don't you? I do that all the time. Do you also read their book? Because I have read their book before.
No.
Do you not?
No.
I've read a bit of the Russell Brand book when I was on the train before. Good couple of pages.
Do you always choose your seat next to the person who's got a good bit of reading literature?
But if they happen to be reading a good book or something, I have done that in the past.
This kind of happened very often because you don't get public transport that often.
I've got. I think you'll find I've
would
got.
You or is the taxi driver reading a newspaper whilst waiting at lights? Is I that
think,
what you're talking
I
about?
I think you'll find that I've got quite a lot of trains lately, actually. Imagine it. There you are on the train. That's a train. You can mind your own business, and then you start reading over their shoulder. Her hands were all over him, sweeping over his torso. Grabbing his neck, fondling. He fumbles with her buttons. Oh, don't turn the page over. Oh, rubbish. Do you remember a while ago, me and Laura were going to start writing some saucy novels under a pseudonym? What was that? Can you remember that?
Oh, yeah, we... Stephanie Black.
Yeah.
That was going to be our name.
We were going to... We thought... Well, we
it's
kind of
very
made...
saucy.
We kind of made some up in the pub once. Some kind of... romantic novels, and they were actually really good. We could do this all the time.
Even if you do say so yourself.
No, they were good, weren't they?
They were quite popular.
Have you still got them upstairs?
They? Well, we were texting them to people on our phones, and they quite enjoyed them, I think.
Just to gross people out.
Yeah. Maybe we should do that again.
I'd like that, under a pseudonym.
I wouldn't.
Stephanie Black. thanks to everybody else that's been texting in, asking me to read some more extracts from a long, tall Texan summer. I'm still trying to find a bit that I can... I think I've read all the bits out that I could possibly read at this time of day. But I'll try and find another one if that's what you would like.
No,
double one, double
no,
nine.
No.
Do you know what? I quite like the older ones as well. You know, like the 70s ones with the really faded covers where they're like
really
a
good.
Guy in flares or something. Mm. Maybe if somebody's got any hanging around at home... They could send them in.
And there's always a bloke with a moustache.
Yes.
Always.
That looks like Tom
please?
Selleck.
Yeah.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.